And we're back with the Authors Connection, coming to you from beautiful Sarasota, Florida, the heart of the Sun Coast. And with me, I have author Gabriel Lennon, and she is the author of Touch Me Real and After Midnight. Hello, Gabriel.
Hi.
And it's kind of nice to have you here. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the author of Touch Me Real, which is a book of short stories, and After Midnight, which is a book of poetry. And I am interested in both my life and in my writing in, I guess, deep emotional truth. That's my thing. So I seek to write from my heart and live from my heart, too. And I, which can mean anything from serious things to really funny, you know, I love laughing, too, and everything. But I've backpacked around the world twice, mostly in third world countries, real shoestring stuff. And yeah, what would you like to know?
Well, let's go back to, did you have somebody in your family or relatives or somebody who pushed you into reading a lot?
No, actually, no. I was a bookworm when I was a little girl, mm-hmm. and no one pushed me into it. I read, when I was in elementary school, I would just come home from school and read a book every single day. That was my thing. And I think that was what got me into, and then I wanted to be an actress, and I am an actress too, but I was also very interested in writing, and now I think I might like writing even more than I like acting. Yeah.
So when you were doing your backpacking and things like that, were you making notes to yourself? I mean, were you keeping journals?
Yeah, I kept journals. I also wrote letters to people, and had them keep those letters. I would write poetry, and so like if an artist has a sketch pad and maybe they're in Indonesia or something and something really wild is going on, like a prince is being cremated, and they'll write a sketch about it. But me, I'll write a little poem about it. So I have poems and things of images through my travels.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, you were talking about seeing things and writing the images. Tell me what was probably in your travels the country that gave you the most poetry feelings.
Wow, I think Indonesia was definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nepal, India, and Kenya also mm-hmm. were really high on that list. Yeah, because the people, especially India and Nepal, it's just a different planet. But in Indonesia, for example, I went beyond the guidebooks. I went into Borneo, Kalimantan, where people had been headhunters 20 years before I was there. And it didn't say in Lonely Planet Travel Guide how to get into that place, but I made a friend, and he told me how to get in, and he gave me an Indonesian dictionary. And I was the only tourist, and there were no places for tourists to stay, so it was really interesting. And I was living with these people who are straight out of National Geographic, really.
Did they, I mean, when you were writing your notes, did you do it after you, like toward the end of the night when no one was around, or were you doing it as you were talking to them and adding things?
It was really neither. It was just whenever something came up from inside of mm-hmm. me, yeah, when I felt inspired, I would just, kind of like having a baby in a way, you know, it's coming, better find a pen, you know, yeah.
So do you keep tracks of journals now for everything that you do, continuing that cycle?
Well,
I assume you don't travel a lot as you used to.
No, I think I'm, at least for the time being, done with third world traveling because I have kids. But I keep a little notebook in with me most of the time. So if I get an idea for writing, I jot it down.
And when you're doing your writing, especially around the house, do you have a special place that you go to in your house that it's kind of like off limit? You know, it's mom's space or, you know, the spouse's space, and just don't bother me if I'm in here with the door closed?
No, because I have little kids, so I'm always bothered. You know, they're always going to come get me wherever I am. I do have an office, but the door is always open. Yeah.
So do you find that your family really supports you? I mean, they're really encouraging. Do they read your poetry? Do you give it to them? I mean, I don't know how young your kids are, but let's say, you know, your husband, does he read it and tell you things in comments? I mean, and you have to kind of sit there and take it since he's your spouse, in a sense.
Well, actually, I think in terms of my I think in terms of both my poetry and my prose, that was part of how I think my husband became interested in me, because he is really picky with writing, and he liked my writing. And so I think that got him really wanting to know me better as a human being. Yeah.
Kind of a love poem in a sense.
Well, I do have some poems about that are definitely in that direction.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I have some poems that are definitely not in that direction.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of poetry, whatever your feel is. You know, you made a comment in the back of your book that I was looking at is poetry is alive.
Yeah.
You know, tell us a little bit on that subject, how you came to that conclusion that poetry is alive.
Actually, that's one of the things that one of my reviewers wrote, because mm-hmm. all those things on the back of my book, I didn't write them. A bunch of people who reviewed my book did. But I think that is a lot of the heart of my poetry and my prose, because I really strive for deep emotional truth in my writing, and sort of the place where it's universal. So if I'm writing about something that maybe someone has not experienced, they can get it in their gut, regardless, because hopefully I've reached something that's, you know, kind of a lowest common denominator level. And with my poetry, it's very accessible. It's not pseudo-intellectual, highfalutin stuff that you can't that people can't understand. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I hate that kind of thing. For me, poetry and prose, writing, it's supposed to nourish people, nourish their hearts. If they read about a character and they have not experienced what that character's experiencing, then they are experiencing what that character's experiencing on a real deep emotional level. And if it's funny, then, you know, they should be, like, laughing out loud. It's supposed to be funny. And it's about real things. It's not about, I don't know, it's about, like, for example, in my poetry book, the subject matter has a huge range from, you know, sexuality and sensuality and spiritual joy to suicide and sexual violence and all kinds of violence. So, and millions of other things. So, I mean, I don't write about any one particular thing, but it's all very accessible and understandable.
Let me ask you this. You're writing the poetry, making comments throughout your travels.
Yeah.
Did you go into a lot of, like, open mic type places to try it out on people?
No. I don't think I ever did that when I was traveling, actually. It was only when I got home mm-hmm. and I started looking at it.
So how many did you go? I mean, did you try certain styles and then go back and rewrite it based on what the audience was doing?
No. How it comes out of my, I do extensive revision, but the first draft is how it comes out of my heart. I don't think with my head in the first draft. Mm-hmm. I don't try to formulate. I just write from my heart. It's like my head is gone, out of the picture, and it's just like my arm. I don't type my writing for the first time, and it's like my arm is just this channel from my heart to the paper, and that's it for the first draft.
Do you talk to groups about your style of writing?
No, I haven't. Because I have different styles. I mean, my style's always just seeking for deep emotional truth in whatever I'm writing about. But for example, in my poetry book, I have free verse, I have poetry that rhymes, I have sonnets, I have all kinds of forms. I have haiku. Yeah.
Besides the book selling well, what kind of some of the responses coming from the readers?
I've gotten very good responses. They have said, and these are from people I don't even know. They've said, they've emailed me and contacted me and said they can't put the books down. They stayed up all night reading them. And also talking about that they've felt deeply moved and deeply nourished, that it's been really deeply personal writing for them.
How do you respond to somebody that says that? I mean, do you go back to them and, you know, on a one-to-one and thank them, or do you go further into discussion of the poetry?
Well, it depends what they want. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to correspond with anybody, and I definitely say thank you so much, because I appreciate people telling me that. And if they want to correspond with me, I will correspond with them.
You were talking about that, you know, it's pretty much odd for you to get a place that's quiet enough that no one's looking for you. Do you find that you write your poetry more early mornings, late at night? I mean, you were talking about it feels it and you write it, but sometimes we know that's not possible.
Yeah.
So do you have little notes that you write down, a couple words so you can remember?
Yeah, I do. And I also, my children are now in school, so I do have some quiet time when because I do need absolute quiet when I'm working on something. I cannot be interrupted when I'm working on my writing.
Go school, I guess.
Yeah, woohoo! Although I love my children and I miss them while they're in school, I also need to do my writing, so.
True. You were talking about not doing any speaking and things in order. Do you see yourself going to, I mean, I know that, you know, certain areas of the country have a lot of, I don't want to call them poetry jams, but they do refer to them sometimes, but basically it's open mic.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself going around the country and just popping in?
I would love to do that. And if I ever got the chance, I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I could also be with my children enough time.
Well, it's a good road trip for the summer.
That would be amazing. I would love to do that because I love speaking my poetry.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
The first book you did, you finished it, you put it in there, you had your publisher publish it out.
Mm-hmm.
What did it feel like when you were holding it in your hands?
It felt great. it felt great. It's very strange. It felt great, but what you're talking about speaking in front of people, that feels even better to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very strange. It was like many, many years ago. The opening poem in my book I wrote when I was 26. And many, many, many years ago, I spoke it at Columbia University at this big symposium on human freedoms and this huge auditorium filled with people, every seat taken. And I'd spoken it in front of small groups before, but it was... And I'm just like, oh, you know, people are quiet and they listen to your poetry. But these people, they started, like, screaming from the audience, like, yeah, and you go, girl, and, you know, all this stuff. And I was just like, and I would have thought beforehand that I wouldn't like that kind of thing. But I loved that dialogue with the audience. It was amazing. So to me, I love the personal thing with the audience or with the readers if they're writing to me or something. That felt so much better than just holding my books in my hand, even though that felt really good too.
So basically what it comes down to is the books are secondary and the actual verbal of your poems is first.
Yeah, and the short stories too, because I have read them, although they're longer, I mean, but I have read them too. And yeah, it's like a life-to-life connection because... Mm-hmm. In the writing, I seek a life-to-life connection. So if I can then be actually there, having a life-to-life connection through my voice, too, it's really, I love that.
That's good. You have something you'd like to read to the audience?
Sure. I have a few poems.
Good.
And I can start with, however many you want me to. This one is called Haha, as in the word for mother in Japanese, inspire and inspiration in Hawaiian, and the sounds of laughter and breath. A universe of joy, fountain dancing through my body, sparkling, laughing in my lips, leaps to my heart, turning my womb over on its comet light year way. They're like a spark igniting all my cells. Fireworks laughing in my orgasm of light, cascading shower of me-made stars, fire flowers. My body feels like a piece of art, soft, supple, flowing, alive. My stomach is soft and feminine. My breasts and thighs, beautiful to wrap and feel. Hold, hug, woman, I receive with my thighs and breasts and stomach that feel so perfect suddenly after years of work inside my head to get here. And it's not bragging to say so. Media, mom, social conditioning, Playboy, the royal finger to you all. Finally inside me, the life that's been wanting and waiting to come out is. It's easier to be with myself than intimate with someone else. But now I, alive, fireball, quiet inside, boundless, want to make love, feel the passion rise and flow between us, in us, through us, one to the other, one. hot springs, healing, steaming water from the Earth's core. I want more. I've bathed in a gift from the depths of our planet. Mother? A different kind. One I can roll naked in the mud on, bathe in her water and wind in my hair through my thighs as I stretch at the seaweed sunrise. There is everything like the sound of the ocean running water over rocks and seagulls. Salty smells, sunlight sparkling diamonds dancing on miles of sea. Wrap my legs around it all, unbounded, ecstatic, free.
That's excellent.
Thanks.
It was quite a venture through. It was very nice.
Thank you.
You ever thought about doing shows?
Yes. I'd love to do shows.
Something to do. You know, when you wrote the book and you were talking about holding the book and you really were feeling more with the words, and I can see that listening to you read your poetry. But tell me a little bit about, you know, what gets you to that level of poetry. I mean, is there something that triggers inside of you and says, it's time?
I think it's when I feel really strongly about something.
Mm-hmm.
Like the poem I just read, I wrote that when I was 26 years old and I was living in Japan, and I had been in recovery from an eating disorder for about 9 years. I had not had a binge, and I had not knowingly eaten processed sugar for 9 years. But the one part that I hadn't overcome was I always felt fat, no matter how thin or fat I was. Well, and I was really working on that, like just personal growth work, and I had this huge breakthrough. I did this Buddhist chanting practice, and I was like chanting about it, and I had this huge breakthrough, and I felt like a goddess for the first time in my life, and that was beyond what my mind could have conceived of. And then I went to these hot springs, and I just had this ecstatic experience, and then I was at a Buddhist meeting and the poem just came out of me and I had to just find a paper and pen. But there's another poem that I can read for you if you want.
Sure.
It's, I guess, should I read it first and then tell you what made me?
Yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't you read it first and then you can tell the audience how it came into being.
Okay. This one is called Hidden Headline. A fight between a pimp and a loudmouthed whore on a seventh-story smack house crack house roof, screaming heaps of vicious trash and abuse at each other as broken windows glint below them, leering in the ghetto morning sun. Pimp pushes prostitute off roof, the headline hidden in the corner of the back page read. The sickening sound of her hitting the street, her back cracked on concrete, her blood flooding the sidewalk, the smack of her body on the ground, the most horrible sound, except while falling, her scream. Trash anyway, a couple onlookers said. Just another worthless slut addict dead. The last image she sees flitting through her head. When she was 3, her father kissing her, then raping her for the first time.
Do we dare go to that one?
Well, it's. I feel very strongly mm-hmm. about sexual abuse. I have a lot of close friends who are sexually abused, and I know the damage it does from talking with them about it. And I know that people tend, and I know that a lot of people who are sexually abused become prostitutes, and I know somebody who that happened to,
mm-hmm.
and she's brilliant. She put herself through an Ivy League school by doing prostitution, and she's a beautiful human being. And people look at prostitutes and they judge them, and people say snide comments like, "Oh, she's such a slut," and things. And people don't think. Well, maybe they do. Some people do. I mean, obviously, but a lot of people are really judgmental and they don't think about the pain behind promiscuous behavior or prostitution. So I wrote that poem to, you know.
How long did it take you to come up with that? I mean, you were talking about your friends. You had some friends that had been abused and things. I mean, was it just building inside to the point where it hit, or did you piece it together as you went?
With my poetry, I think it goes around in my subconscious, and then the first draft just comes out. Instantly. I mean, the first draft, I just write the first draft. It goes through a lot of revision after the first draft. But for that first draft, it just comes out. I don't piece it together. for my prose, the same. For the prose, I do sit down and write. Again, I write from my heart, though, so I write it. The first draft, I just write and see where it goes. I don't plan where it goes. But in revision is when I bring my head into the job.
Let me ask you this, Gabriel. While you're reading this and you're putting things together, do you change into the being that you're writing for? You were talking about that you went to the Buddhist temple, I think, or meeting, and you're talking about your friends that are involved with abuse. Do you change to where, I mean, does your husband, because your kids are small, I mean, does he know, say, she's putting it together, I've got to stay away from her and let her do her thing? I mean, do you change to the point where, you know, it's intensified? People get tense. I mean, today they call it stress, but they still get tense about something. Do you find yourself at these points just trying to, you know, almost paint a picture on the paper?
No, I think actually I don't feel stressed about it. I don't feel tense about it. I feel when I'm writing, I feel usually in the zone, kind mm-hmm. of, so I just lose all sense of time, mm-hmm. and I'm really relaxed, actually, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's neat. Gabriel, where can they find your books?
You can find my books on Amazon and most of the online bookstores. You can also find them at LennonBooks.com. On LennonBooks.com, you can read the backs of them mm-hmm. and various other things. It's a fun website to peruse the books at a little deeper level.
Do you have some book signings or poetry readings coming up somewhere?
I probably will, okay. But yeah.
And what is there a website or something they can go to besides the publishing?
LennonBooks.com. Actually, the publisher is Hanalea Publishing, okay. but the LennonBooks.com will just have all my books on it, specializing in my books, essentially, that particular website. And Lennon is spelled like John Lennon's Lennon, but yeah, so people can remember.
So
that.
Do you have your listings of when you're doing book signings and speaking engagements?
I will, yes. That'll be on my website, too, the LennonBooks.com website.
So you haven't been e-books yet?
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
I should
what do you need to do?
Do that.
Well, Gabriel, it's been fun having you on the program today, and good luck. I don't think you need luck. I actually think listening to you and reading it, I have to agree with you, when you read it, it has more of an impact. Than I'm sure when you read it, it has more of an impact, I should say, than myself reading it, probably. Because
yeah.
I think, you know what you meant to say. You know, most authors, when they read, they're better off reading their own books than having somebody read it because they know what they meant to say.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although I think that when people read books, I mean, because I just listened to my first audiobook lately, and I definitely thought, wow, I would rather just be reading this myself because I love what my imagination, mm-hmm. you know, does inside when I'm reading something. And I guess that's another joy of reading because it is something like an intimate thing with the reader because your voice joins with the reader's voice and your heart joins with the reader's heart if they're just reading it off the page. So that's special, too.
Well, I think it's also, too, that, you know, when you're talking about that, you know what it's supposed to be. And even if you spend thousands of dollars on a marketing group, it's still not the same because they can't transpond that into something else for the people. You know, if it's coming from the reader, as you said, when you were having your conversation at the university and people were actually talking back to you while you were reading, you can't get that. And you can't get that same feeling as if you had a marketing person going, you need to buy this book.
Right.
You know, something
that was
missing
before there. I had the book, though. People were coming up to me, do you have any books? No.
It'll be nice to have you on your third book back on the Authors Connection. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And look forward to the third book.
Thank you so
much. Maybe a poet jam somewhere we can get involved.
That sounds good to me.
Gabriel Lennon has been our author today on the Authors Connection. Her books, Touch Me Real, After Midnight, you know all the places you can get it. And Lennon Publishing, is that what it is, or Lennon's Books Publishing?
Oh, the publisher is Hanalea Publishing,
okay.
But the website is LennonBooks.com.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
So you find all the information you want right there. Great. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
And we'll be right back after a short break.
reviewers are saying about Gabrielle Lennon's books After Midnight, A Book of Poetry, and Touch Me Real and Other Stories. Challenging, provocative, heartbreaking, there is no doubt Lennon's talent is immense, a stunning achievement. And, no politeness here, Lennon writes with immense creativity about the rawness of life, love, desire, sexuality, mental illness, violence, and ultimately that essential place called the heart. And Lennon's writings convey a deep passion for life, a lust for experience, and a desire to give that is second to none. She forces you to look into your own soul, as she has into hers, to find the answers to life, to recognize the deepest, most heartfelt experiences that a person can achieve. Touch Me Real and After Midnight, available at Amazon and at LennonBooks.com, spelled like John Lennon's Lennon. Again, LennonBooks.com. Hi, I'm Gabrielle Lennon, and I'm the author of After Midnight, A Book of Poetry, and Touch Me Real, and Other Stories. You are listening to Radio Ear Network.